Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this fine food Friday, October 29th. I'm Ray Graff. As the cold weather gets closer, there are things that I dread. Shoveling is at the top of the list, driving in the snow. But there are other things that come with fall and winter that make it worthwhile. And at the top of that list, for many of us, is the arrival of soup and stew season. It's right after martini season. Here to talk about that is a Food Friday favorite, Deanna Fox. So let's talk soup and whatnot. Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. As Ian Pickus termed it, the broth radio hour is ahead. The number is 800-348-2551. You can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. Soup, how can we lose? Deanna Fox is here. Your call's coming up. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome back Deanna Fox. She is a regular on this program, and when she's coming on, she usually gets carte blanche on the topic. And today, it's a topic close to our hearts, soups and stews for the cold weather that's coming. Deanna Fox is a food and agriculture journalist who travels the globe in search of the story, meaning, and purpose of our food heritage and systems. Her work has appeared in the New York Times, Washington Post, USA Today, The Guardian, The Kitchen, National Lampoon, Stories, videos can be found on foxonfood.com or at Fox on Food on Facebook and Instagram. She's also was the owner of the Albany Cooking School for several years. That is in the past. So let's talk soup today. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. If you want to talk to the great Deanna Fox today, you can email us as well, voxpop@wamc.org. One of the great things about this program is, as a guest, Deanna Fox knows that when I'm speaking, it's time to eat. And when she speaks, it's time for me to eat. You're eating already. Don't talk with your mouth full. How are you?
Good. Well, I just had a meatball in my mouth, so.
That soup looks, it smells amazing. And it's not really fair if I'm doing the billboard to the show and you are eating it, but that's Italian wedding soup.
It is Italian wedding soup.
God
and look,
bless you.
Did you see the carrots they cut into hearts? Ray.
I'm going to make you talk now, so you can just put that soup down for a moment. We'll talk about the soup for a minute. Tell me about the book. It's out.
Yeah, so I partnered with the Shaker Heritage Site in Albany, and we put together this amazing compendium of people's stories and food heritage in the area. So the book is called Heritage Cooking, and you can get it through the Shaker site, their website.
Are there any Shakers left living?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, not as many as there were.
Right.
But they're around. They're
okay.
Like Quakers, you know. You find them in the rushes and the reeds and the
oh, cool.
The hidden places. But
I'll have to look there.
Yeah. So the book is great. We put out a call and gathered up food stories and a collection of recipes from people throughout the region. We've got Korean recipes in there. We've got Italian recipes. We've got French Canadian. It's amazing.
Korean, were there Korean Shakers?
No. It's not just about the Shakers.
I see.
I mean, there could be.
Okay, I'm just, I don't know anything about the Shakers.
Yeah, it's all, you know, I'm trying to think what a Shaker Korean household would be like. Very simplistic.
I don't know, but if I ate Korean food and I shook, I'd have indigestion.
Shaking beef.
The number here is 800-348-2551. If you want to talk soup with Deanna Fox, tell me about your newsletter while I have a meatball here.
All right, so my website is foxonfood.com, and you can go on there and you can sign up for my newsletter. It goes out twice a month, every other week, and it's a compendium, a collection of all of my writing at the moment, places I've been published, some recipes, some personal stories. You're making a face at me. What's the face?
It's the face of, I'm going to just sit down now and eat this whole bowl of soup because it's amazing. All right, so you got a newsletter.
Yeah.
All of your writing is on there. And by the way, you know, in getting this show together, you're tough to get a hold of because you're so darn busy all the time.
I'm just avoiding your emails.
Well, most people do. And that's why. Just send it to the junk filter. The number here is 800-348. All right, 2551. Now you tell me about the Italian wedding soup. The meatballs are, I don't say turkey meatballs, right?
Chicken. Yeah, so all the recipes, they're right on my website. So you go to foxonfood.com. There's a search bar at the bottom of the homepage. And you can just type in soup and they'll all come up. So all the soups that we're talking about today, the recipes are there. But the recipe, I usually use like an actual meatball mixture. So pork, and beef, sometimes veal, but today I used chicken. And I really like it. I like that light.
You did that on purpose, or you just didn't have the regular mixture around?
On purpose. I like it.
Yeah, I think it's really good. And the flavors of the vegetables and the broth itself is outstanding.
Chef kisses.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
All right. So you put all that together and you make the Italian wedding. Do you know why they call it that?
It's not, I thought, you know, like most people, I'm sure that you serve at an Italian wedding, you know, like a Corleone event.
But, yeah.
No, it's because you're creating an amalgam of random scraps that you might have on hand. A little pasta, a little meatball, a little broth.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of this is like Italian peasant cooking, which is the best kind of cooking. This is the kind of cooking that fancy restaurants then go on to, you know, they'll add a little gold leaf onto something, and then they charge like $70 for that bowl of soup.
Yeah. So how much are you charging for this?
For you, darling, it's free.
Wow. Oh, that's really nice. And so the Italian wedding, and again, for Steely Dan fans, we have no Haitian divorce soup today, but that would probably be a bitter brew.
Let's do that for next time.
Agreed.
19 ingredients.
The number is 800-348-2551. Pat's in Leverett, Massachusetts. Pat, you're on.
Hi. I was a teacher for 30 years in Amherst Elementary School, and the tradition in the sixth grade with one teacher was to have two international soup days a year, and the kids chose their culture and the soup that they would bring in, and they had to do a presentation about the culture, and then, of course, everybody sampled all the different soups, and it was the most exciting day. Kids looked forward to it for years going up through the grades because they got to choose the culture. It might be their own, might be a very different one, and do a really exciting tasting and presentation. I thought that was a wonderful tradition. It went on for many years.
Yeah, Pat, my kids actually did something like that in school too. It wasn't just soup, but they would pick, I think in fourth grade, they picked a culture. My daughter picked Japan and my son picked Jamaica. And they would make something emblematic of that cuisine and bring it into school. And I was excited about it, too. It was very exciting for me to try that. But I like the idea of soup because it's, you know, one of those like 10, I feel like there's like 10 mother recipes that every culture has. Like everyone has some sort of pancake. Everyone's got some sort of pie, a roasted bird, and soup. So why not?
Yeah. And it was exciting for the kids. Because they didn't have to be wonderful cooks or bakers or show off their culinary skills. They just followed a recipe that they got from some cultural cookbook.
That's great. I love
it. And also, my family had a must-go soup. Everything on Sunday that was in the refrigerator had to go. It was a must-go soup for the week.
I like it.
That can be a dangerous thing. I mean, depending on what's in the fridge, that cannot, you know, I got some old chocolate milk from 4 weeks ago that would not be good in a soup, you know?
Well, you had to have a little common sense with that. It could be good if it were breakfast soup made with oatmeal and chocolate, maybe. I don't know.
Ooh, that actually sounds pretty good. I like it.
Maybe.
Well, yep. Pat, get back to us on that the next time Deanna's on. But thank you. Thanks a lot for the call. Have a great weekend.
Thanks.
Bye. 800-348-2551. So, Deanna Fox, while I prepare for the next soup, the Italian wedding soup, the broth is... There's some tomato-ish stuff in there, right? It's got a little zest of a tomato.
So the big secret in creating soups and stews is you have to do something called depth of flavor. You have to create depth of flavor. So you're layering on different components of flavor onto each other. So you start with something called your mirepoix, your holy trinity, which is your onion, your carrot, and your celery.
That's a New Orleans thing?
It's an everywhere thing.
Okay.
Well, mirepoix is the French term. So
okay.
I think in New Orleans, when they say Holy Trinity, they actually mean onion, carrot, and bell pepper.
All right.
But anyway, so you start with those three ingredients. Maybe you have some garlic. There is garlic in that one.
That's beautiful.
And you, with a little bit of fat, oil, lard, whatever you got, schmaltz.
Okay, all right. Now, listen, you and I have discussed on this program dozens of times fat and just the various permutations of that. You said oil or lard. What do you have in this?
That's olive oil and vegetable oil.
So nice.
Yeah.
So nice.
And then anyway, so then you're softening those vegetables with a little pinch of salt. So salt, add a little salt to your onion and your carrot and your celery when you cook them, pretty much with whatever you're cooking, because the salt is going to break down the cell walls of those vegetables and help to pull out moisture so they cook down faster. And then they soften. And then I add a little bit of tomato paste. So tomato paste is just really highly concentrated tomato, and it's got a little bit of sugar in it. Not added sugar, just natural sugar. So it adds a little sweetness. And that kind of creates your depth of flavor. So instead of adding tomato right to the broth and letting that cook and cook and cook, you're kind of cheating the system a little bit with adding just a little bit of tomato paste. And that's in the recipe if you go online and read the recipe. And then you kind of go from there.
I mean, had I done my job, I would have put the recipe up on the website.
I don't even think I sent it to you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can make up my own. By the way, before we go to break, and the number here is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpopwamc.org if you want to talk soups at Stew's with Deanna Fox. We've all had canned soup, mm-hmm. and they're of varying quality.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that they can't do when they're mass producing soup that makes it somewhat not as good as something like we're having now?
Well, I think there's just so much preservative added into a lot of canned products and a lot of sodium, but the sodium never really tastes salty. Like, you don't really get that. I feel like anytime I eat canned soup, I have to add more salt.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, you must have just tiny little sized artery holes there. All right, let's take a quick break. 800-348-2551. You got to lay off the salt. And I'm a healthy person, let's face it. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Soups und Stews. Deanna Fox is here. We'll be back. Food Friday on WAMC. Ray Graff with you. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. We are having some Italian wedding soup at the moment with Deanna Fox. It's a soup show today, and let's go to Diana in Keene, New Hampshire. Diana, how much rain did you get out that way the last couple days?
Oh, we stopped counting after about 6 hours.
Oh, my God. Well, great to have you on the show. You're on with Deanna Fox.
Happy soup season, Deanna. Thanks for being with us. Here's my question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still pretty much a recipe reader when it comes to making soups. Mm-hmm. And when you get to that place that it says correct for seasoning,
mm-hmm.
I only have a couple go-tos. And you just taught us one, the tomato paste.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to know, what's in your holster? What are those essential ingredients when it comes to correct for seasoning to bring that stew or soup alive?
Diana, what's in your holster?
Do you want to know how much of a jerk I am? When I go out of town, like if I'm going to go stay with friends or something, I have like a little travel salt or a spices container. It almost looks like a pill container that I carry like my essentials in, because it's like I don't trust anybody
you
to
know
have
what?
The right
that
stuff.
That is so presumptuous. And frankly, you get kicked out of my house if you did that. But anyway, go ahead.
Yo, but then I would show up and make you like the best soup of your life.
All right. Go, you pick it up with Diana.
All right. So
come to my house, Deanna. Come to my house.
I would love to. That would be so fun. So always salt and kosher salt. It's got to be kosher.
Why
salt.
Kosher salt?
I think it's easier to season things. I think that it's a bigger flake of salt, and so you're actually less prone to oversalt things because you're picking up less salt than you think you are if you were using just table salt. So use kosher salt. If you're making like soups and stews, I think that thyme, the herb, is really kind of like the quintessential, and a bay leaf, that's kind of like the quintessential.
And you have that
seasoning.
In here. Yeah, right?
Yeah,
isn't that green thing a bay leaf?
No, that green stuff is collard greens.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, don't laugh at me, Diana. I've only been doing the show for like 19 years. I should know. By the way, while you're on the phone, Diana, I was going to bring this up. I was having some of the Italian wedding soup during the break, and I was going to ask Diana about the spices, because now I'm, as I've said before on this program, of Germanic heritage, and we handle beer extraordinarily well, but spices, my head starts sweating. There's some spice in there that has a little zing, because I got a little dot on the side of my forehead here.
There's a little crushed red pepper in the meatballs.
Aha!
So that's it.
It's really good. And you're right about the depth of flavor, because the more it just sort of hangs there, the more dimension it has.
Right. So I think if you're making like brothy soups, like the Italian wedding, I think that a bay leaf and thyme are really important. If you're making things that are like really, really meaty, like heavily meaty, almost like a chili, something like that, cumin is kind of the go-to that adds a lot of flavor. And then for kind of, I brought a butternut squash bisque that we're going to try in a little bit.
Okay.
But that's got like a lot of warm spices in it. So like ginger, cinnamon, cardamom. So you really don't need a ton of stuff, but here's maybe my secret. I don't even think it's my secret. I think probably most people who make their own stock do this. When I make stock from scratch, like chicken stock, I add in whole peppercorns, like just a little, maybe like 10 whole peppercorns, and whole clove. And the clove just adds a little bit of like sweetness and richness. So I think that's a trick. But when they say correct for seasoning, a lot of times they just mean add more salt and pepper. But something that people... If you taste something and it's not quite there, people think, oh, it needs more salt. But a lot of times it needs acid. So like a little wine, a little sherry, a little lemon juice.
Interesting.
And if you oversalt something, if you add a little wine or lemon juice to it, it usually can mitigate the salt and kind of level things out. So those are my go-tos, at least.
Diana.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot for calling. The number here is 800-348-2551. It's a Food Friday. And Deanna Fox joins us today. Foxonfood.com is her website. This email from Joel: has your guest ever heard of or ever made bourbon soup? It's any soup you want with an ounce of bourbon added at the very end so the alcohol does not burn off.
I drink bourbon soup every night. It's one ice cube and two fingers worth of bourbon.
So you think Joel was funning us?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, well, I guess alcohol is technically... has an acid in it, so maybe you could add a little.
It's too
whiskey.
Sweet. Bourbon would be too sweet for a soup, don't you think?
No, because cooking sherry is sweet. That's okay. A little sweetness, so
right,
I think you
enough.
Could do it.
All right, but enough about bourbon. That's a different show. This is from Rebecca. Subject heading: beef stock. What's the best way to create a flavorful beef stock?
Well, roasting the bones first. So if you have beef bones, beef shank, that kind of thing, instead of just because if you get them from the butcher or if you cut them out of like a bone-in roast or something that you have, even if you've already roasted the bones, like when they were in the attached to the meat, roast them again.
Yeah.
And that really helps to draw a lot of flavor before you add them in. But with beef stock, you can also add in a little bit of tomato paste when you're cooking everything together. And then I keep like a bag in my freezer, like a Ziploc bag, and I put my carrot tops and my carrot peels and my onion skins and my garlic skins and the ends of my celery in that bag. And then when that's full, I throw that all in when I make stock.
Oh, really? Too. Cool.
Yeah.
By the way, when did bone broth become a thing?
I hate it.
I mean, it's just new terminology, or has that been around forever?
Yeah, it's these awful like pseudo food impresarios.
They call them foodies.
Ugh, please, I hate that term.
Yep.
If you eat, you're a foodie.
Yeah. So you have a little bone broth. Let's go to Greg in Longmeadow, Massachusetts. You're on with Deanna Fox.
Hi. Yeah, I had quite a stock of wild mushrooms, chicken of the woods and hen of the woods, and I was looking for a soup with that. I didn't know if you had any recommendations.
Well, you could do a cream of mushroom soup, but a lot of times if you just take a potato, if you want to not use actual cream, if you take like a russet potato and just chop it up, take the skin off and chop it up and throw it in there, that will give like a really nice, rich creaminess to it. You can make have you ever had bigos? Do you know what bigos is?
Bigos.
No, I don't know what that is.
It's a Polish soup that's usually like sauerkraut and pork and mushroom.
Wow.
And, no, it's delicious.
Really?
Oh, it's so
okay.
good. Yeah.
That sounds good.
And that would be really good too. You said chicken of the wood and hen of the wood?
Yeah. Which are very different. The chicken of the wood is like a, you know, really kind of chicken texture once you cook it. But
yeah.
I'm having a hard time kind of working it. The hen of the wood is a lot easier to use.
What if you like sauteed like in a skillet with some butter, the chicken of the wood, and then made a chicken noodle soup, but without chicken, you did the mushroom.
That sounds like a good idea.
All right. Let me know how it goes. Send
Greg.
Me an email. Let me know.
Okay,
how it
thank
goes.
You.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Deanna Fox is here to talk soup as we launch into the cold weather months, which is just, it's a horrifying proposition the older I get. And our email address is voxpopwamc.org. We'll get to some emails in a moment. I know what this stuff is.
No, it's very salty in
and
a good
it's
way.
It's so great. And I love the level of salt in this. This is split pea with ham.
Yeah, well, actually, so it's not ham today. It's some bacon because I couldn't get my hand on...
Slab bacon you got here? What do you got?
Yeah.
It's nice and thick.
It is. I couldn't find ham hock at the grocery store. So it's bacon, but it's a little bit extra salty this time because I was down in Virginia writing a story about oysters just before Easter.
Yeah.
And so I picked up a Virginia smoked ham, like a country ham when
I was down there.
Which is like a salt bomb. My God, I had to soak that thing for days and then cook it for like, I don't know, 6 hours. So I took the stock that was left over from cooking the ham. So it's basically just like ham water and salt. It was so good.
And I'm not the greatest Catholic.
And I canned it up, and I used some of it in the soup.
Oh, you canned it up. I was going to say, yeah. I'm not the greatest Catholic in the world, but Easter was a long time ago by my calculation.
I canned it. You got to walk into my pantry. It's like all these like crystals and jewels of canned goods. It's so pretty.
The salt level in the soup makes you just want to have more and more
more.
And the texture is great. So
what
we were talking about canned soup before. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll pop a can of soup all the time in my house in the winter if somebody's cold and they want some soup. A lot of the times, the split pea with ham, you can get different varieties that are thicker than others, but this is thick. This is all.
Yeah.
You don't need anything with this. This is a meal.
Yeah, I agree. Stick to your ribs.
800-348-2551. Speaking of stick to your ribs, we got this email from Chris in South Amherst. This time of year, I enjoy making stick to your rib soups and stews for a little added zing for a stew. What if I were to include a can of delicious Moxie soda?
Well, you would get hair on your chest.
Yeah. Chris really likes Moxie soda. He'll call in, you know, fairly often.
Yeah.
And that's Billy's stuff.
Well, we've talked about Flo's hot dogs, right?
Yeah. Oh, well, that's different. That's quite different.
Where they serve Moxie.
Do they serve it there? I've never been inside the place. I'm scared to go in.
Yeah, you should be scared. Well, if you order a Moxie there, they come out and ask you if you're man enough to drink it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, apparently Chris in Massachusetts is. This email from Jerry. And Jerry writes, how should I get started? I want to make homemade chicken soup. Hearty. I'm recently retired, not very accomplished in the kitchen, but trying to teach myself. Do you have any tips, anything I should look for or avoid when looking at recipes?
Well, I think if you want to make a homemade chicken soup, you should start, if you've never really done it before, go to the grocery store and buy a rotisserie chicken and start there.
Okay.
And then pull all the meat off the chicken and shred it. Put the shredded chicken aside, put it in the fridge. And then you're going to take the carcass, so the bones, and the skin, too. You can throw the skin in. And add, like, an onion that you chop up. You just chopped into quarters. A couple of carrots that you cut into big chunks. A few stalks of celery. A bay leaf. Some peppercorns. Cover it with water and simmer it for, like, 2 hours, 2.5 hours. So bring it up to a boil. Once it's boiling, turn the heat down to a simmer, cover it, and let it just sit on the stove for a couple of hours. And that's how you're going to get your chicken stock. You take all of the bones. You can strain everything out. Reserve the liquid. Keep the liquid. And then chop up some carrots and some celery and some onion. Cook it in a pot with a little bit of butter or olive oil and some salt just so it gets soft. Throw in your shredded chicken. Throw that stock back over. Let it cook for maybe like 30 minutes. Just let everything kind of marry together. Take a little sip to see how it's tasting. Does it need more salt? Does it need a little lemon juice? And then throw your noodles in. You can just use spaghetti if that's what you have. You can use any pasta. And let that cook for like on medium heat for like 7 minutes maybe. And then you have chicken noodle
soup. That's
it. That's it. That's all chicken noodle soup is.
Deanna Fox joins us today. The number is 800-348-2551 if you want to talk soup. When we make homemade chicken soup in our house, and maybe you have a scientific reason, an answer for this, but it seems like after day one, it's better. After day two, it's better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even better on day three. What is the scientific reason that would be true?
Scientifically speaking, I couldn't really tell you how the chemical reaction works, but just all those flavors having a chance to really mesh into each other. I think any soup and stew that you make is better.
Chili's the same way.
Absolutely.
Our number here, 800-348-2551. Let's go back to the phones. We go to Beacon. James, you're on.
Hey, I knew you were talking about sodium and salt, and I have a question because it's often that people don't use salt because they feel like they're getting salt from their foods. And I'm wondering, is that a mistake in that? Is there a difference in the sodium whether it's the quality of the salt, essential minerals or whatever, that adding salt and using salt as an additive, I mean, obviously for muscle function, brain function, right, in terms of the electrical connection in the body, are people not getting the quality and the benefits from salt because they're relying on the salt in their foods that maybe are canned or, you know, produced? Should they be considering the concept of, you know, adding salt and using salt in their diet in the morning, you know, throughout the day, versus being like, oh, I eat a lot of salty food, so I really don't need salt? And I know it's kind of like a nutritional question. I'm just wondering if you could speak to the quality of salt in your food.
Well, I don't know what kind of salt is being used when they actually can things. So there's different types of salt that you can get. Most salt that comes, that's coming in processed food is like, is made in a laboratory, essentially. It's not like a mined product, or it's not a, you know, it's not like sea salt that's being harvested. But most of the salt that you're getting, like if you buy just like table salt, that's also a chemically made product.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah, it's not like coming out of the ground or coming off the sea or anything like that. But you, depending on where the salt comes from and how it's processed, essentially, you can get a lot of other minerals in the salt. So you can get like magnesium, potassium, and magnesium and potassium both have like a salty texture or salty flavor. So when you see like those no salt added seasoning mixes, if you look at the ingredient list, you'll see like potassium on there. But I don't know how much salt people should be adding, but
yeah.
I think it's, you know, just because I love to cook so much, I'm always a proponent of cooking for yourself. And I really can't imagine that you would add so much salt into homemade food that you would overdo it on salt, but I'm also not a doctor.
Yeah, and James, by the way, December 10th, I think, and I'm going by memory here, we are having a dietitian, Nicole Rodriguez, back on, and she has great recipes, and she could probably answer that question for you. If you can, I'm amazed I remembered. It's December 10th, I'm pretty sure, and that'll be a Food Friday back then. Thank you for the call. 800-348-2551 if you want to talk with Deanna Fox today about the soup. Yeah, the split pea, it's an award winner.
Thank you, dear.
That's really nice.
Thanks.
We go now to Karen in Pine Hill. Whoops, did I do something wrong? There's Karen. Hello, you're on.
Oh, hi, it's Karen from the Pine Hill Community Center.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, and I'm so excited because we also did a Catskill cookbook with recipes from all over, from France and Hungary and all different places, and the soups are remarkable. There's a Hungarian cauliflower soup, and it's, the depth of flavor was substantial. I didn't realize, but it starts with chicken with bones and stuff, and it's Marta White's Margiotta, and it's just a fantastic soup. So these soups are wonderful. We have a pickle soup recipe, which is incredible, and then a French onion soup recipe.
Right.
So
again,
the depth of flavor really becomes great if you leave it for a long time.
Karen,
I just wanted to mention about the Catskills and all the different artists that we have around in our cookbook. So that's what I wanted to say. It's a similar Catskill cook with original art and treasured recipes from everybody from the community.
Stay with me here,
it's
Karen.
Kind of different.
Stay with me for a second,
yes,
because
please.
Frankly, I don't get the pickle soup concept. And when I said that, Deanna Fox, she almost slugged me. What, you like the pickle soup too?
Remarkably good, and I have to brag. It's my granddaughter's recipe, and she wrote it, you know, cut up the potato in slices that you would like to see, to eat, and an onion the size of a tennis ball, because I play tennis, and it was just hysterical. Then we have a ramp soup recipe, but the pickle soup, you chop up pickles, you know, and the basic onions, potatoes, chopped up pickles, little pickle juice, and it actually, I know, I kind of gagged when I first said, I'm not going to put that in, but it's delicious.
All right, well, Deanna, how do you do yours?
I don't make it.
You don't make it?
No, I've never made pickle soup.
But we talked about it, right?
No, you said that you hated it, and then somebody made it for you, and you loved it.
Oh, that's right. Joe Makowitz brought some in. All right, well, it was all right.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, well, Karen.
Oh, that was great. Well, it's really very good. I mean, you know, grated pickles, so be careful you don't grate just little fingertips. But,
all right.
And pickle juice and a little heavy cream and dill, and it really works.
Karen, what's the name of the book again?
It's called The Catskill Cooks, and it's collected from the Pine Hill Community Center.
Yeah.
In Pine Hill, New York. We're right on the cusp of Ulster and Delaware.
Yeah.
And we have artists from our Plein Air Gallery in Roxbury and then from the Longyear Gallery in Margaret. They all donated magnificent original pieces of art.
Well, we got to take a break here, Karen. But is there a website people can find this book, Karen? And we got to go do some underwriting.
Yes, and you know what? We sold out 250 copies already. We're in print for another 250. And, we have an ISBN number. It's Pine Hill Community Center.
Okay.
In Pine Hill, New York.
Well, thank you so much for the call. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. It's Soups and Stews with Deanna and many people who have write their own cookbooks. We'll be back. Zach, the engineer, said to me, you know, we need more Barry Sax solos on the bumper music. And there we go. It's 800-348-2551. Food Friday. Deanna Fox is here. We're talking soups. And we'll get back to the phones in a minute. My neighbor, Becky, is on hold. And the last time, she didn't make it on the show.
Okay.
So I have to make sure she gets, well, she's been waiting longest. So, Becky, just cool your jets a minute. We're going to do a couple of emails here for Deanna Fox. This one's from Robert. Herbs. When you cook the soup, is it better to use dried seasonings or fresh, such as thyme, has rosemary, things like that?
Woody stemmed herbs like thyme and rosemary and bay leaf can go in anytime. They mm-hmm. can you can put them in the beginning or the end. If you're doing like soft stemmed herbs like parsley, cilantro, that kind of thing,
yeah.
they have a tendency to get kind of like a soapy taste if they are cooked too long. They get a little slimy.
You got that gene about the cilantro?
No.
No?
No, but that's just how, I mean, parsley too. Parsley doesn't really do that to people, but it's just if you cook them for too long, that's how they taste.
Yeah.
So I usually add those in like the last 10 or 15 minutes, but there's this thing called bouquet garni, which is a French term, which is you take your bay leaf on the outside, a sprig of rosemary, a sprig of thyme, and some fresh parsley. And you tie them together with some butcher twine, and you throw them into your soup, and you get all the great aromatics without having to go through and like pick out stems of thyme and stems of rosemary. You just grab your tongs and pull them right out.
Okay.
So, but if you're using like dried herbs, you should that are already like crushed up. You should put them in your hand before you put them into the pot and rub them in your hands for a minute, and then. Let them fall into
the
pot.
And the grease and dirt from your hands helps it in some way?
It sure does. I mean, the hand. But actually what you're doing is you're opening up the cells in the dried herbs. And you're releasing the essential oil, which gives it its flavor.
But you should wash and dry your hands before you do that, right?
I mean, do you think I wash my hands before I brought you the soup?
You know what? I never thought of it, but now I am. And let's just go to another email. This one's from Lori. I love creamy soups, but I can't eat dairy, milk, or butter. I've had some success with using potatoes. Is there anything else I can try?
Well, you can make a roux, R-O-U-X, which is fat and flour combined. So you put that in your soup first. And that's kind of like if you've ever made... like gumbo, you make a roux.
Yeah.
So
will that make
that.
A creamy soup for someone who can't have dairy?
Yeah, it'll thicken it up and add some cream. Potato definitely gives it some creamy texture. What else could you use? I feel like I have a trick that I'm forgetting.
Well,
I'll think about it.
To me, now maybe creamy is in the eye of the beholder. I don't know. To me, that split pea seemed very creamy. There's no dairy in that, is there?
No, but it's starchy. So it's actual you know, dried peas and lentils and some potato, and all of the starch is being cooked off to give it that creaminess.
So
and this
good.
This one I just put in front of you.
What do you got?
Butternut squash bisque is
okay.
Awfully creamy looking.
No, okay. While I'm having a sip, or not a sip, well, not a sip. It's not a drinking show yet. While I'm having a spoonful,
mm-hmm.
tell me why are some things called bisques?
To charge you $2.50 more at a restaurant. That's why.
This is so smooth, though.
I know.
It's velvety. Is that the key to a bisque?
Yes, it is usually very, very smooth. So like lobster bisque, well, sometimes it has like pieces of meat in it, but it's usually like a texture thing.
Yeah.
Like it's like, you know, warm baby food.
Can you say bisque without thinking about Seinfeld? That's the question. Let's go to Becky in Del Mar. Becky, you're on. Becky.
Hi, Ray.
Hello.
Hello, Ray. You must think I'm the only Becky in Delmar.
Listen, I can tell just by the name on the screen that it's you. Hello.
Okay. And Deanna, it's nice to talk with you again. I enjoyed the cooking classes Amy arranged last winter.
Oh, nice. Yes. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
So I have a question. What's the difference between a soup and a stew?
Viscosity.
Ooh.
So soup is usually a little bit more brothy. Stew is longer cooking and thick. And it usually has like stew usually has like big chunks. It's also a texture thing. Like
yeah.
If you get a stew, like beef bourguignon, which is like a French beef stew, essentially.
Yeah.
It's almost like you might need a knife and a fork to cut through things into smaller pieces. And soup is usually a little bit more, you can fit everything on your spoon and slurp it up. So, you know, like chili, I guess, technically is a stew, although it's also its own thing. Tomato soup could be a bisque. But we
you're right.
Soup.
You're right. All right, Becky, you want to follow up?
Yeah, I have a recipe from my aunt out in Montana. She lived in Montana, and it's called glorified stew, and it's one of our favorites. And you don't add any liquid except the wine. You marinate the beef in the wine, a hearty red wine, overnight. And then you layer the meat in the bottom and add fresh onions, carrots, and celery. And then a can of green beans with its liquid and a large can of peeled stewed tomatoes with a little bit of instant tapioca. And then you let it slow cook. You let it slow cook for about 5 hours. And every time you reheat it, it gets better.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds good. It'll probably go good with elk or something from out that way. Yeah.
I've only ever made it with beef.
All right. Well, next time you're in Montana, you get some elk. Hey, Becky, thanks a lot. We appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. The butternut squash bisque is really good.
Guess what? It's vegan.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, how would someone tasting it know? It tastes just as hearty and rich as any other soup you've
I
made.
Know. I know.
It's
but
beautiful.
It's vegan. I mean, it's the easiest soup, too. I just threw cubed up butternut squash that was frozen, a peeled cored apple cut into chunks, a carrot cut into chunks, an onion cut into chunks. I smashed open a garlic clove. What else did I add? Some ginger, some cinnamon.
I'm tasting the ginger, but not the apple.
Well, you shouldn't. It just, there was a little bit of sweetness.
Yeah.
And that's from the apple. And then I just covered it with water and cooked it for 20 minutes and then put it through a blender.
Deanna Fox joins us. 800-348-2551 is the number. Jeff writes, I'm making beef stew this weekend. Would you start with mirepoix to flavor the stock before braising the beef?
No, because if you're making stock, it probably already has the flavor. I mean, it's already got those things in it. So I would just add... I would just add in, as the recipe dictates, on your vegetables, in your fat, and brown those. But I'm wondering, if your recipe doesn't say this, you should actually start with your meat. So you should put a little bit of fat in the bottom. I think bacon grease works really good for beef stew, but that's me.
There you go.
And then you take, in a bowl, you take your cubes of meat, and you put salt and pepper and just a little bit, like maybe a tablespoon of flour, all-purpose flour. Toss it around and throw it into the pot with the oil. And that's going to brown your meat, give you a little bit of thickening agent from the flour. You're almost making like a roux. And then you're rendering off some more fat and flavor, and you're going to get all those brown bits. And then when you put your vegetables in, you take your wooden spoon and you kind of scrape those brown bits off. It's called the fond, F-O-N-D. But you say it because you're French. Yeah. And then you get that extra flavor.
By the way,
depth
speaking
of
French, a note to those who write into the show, try not to put French words or Japanese. I have enough trouble with English. Let's just keep it really simple. We go to Michael in Hudson. Michael, you're on. Hello, Michael. Oh, for Pete's sake. Goodbye, Michael. Michael waited all that time. We go to John in Delmar. John, you're on.
Hi there. So yeah, I was just sharing stepfather for 30 years had soup every night unless they went out to dinner, and he made it to 95. He had the exact same lunch and dinner for 30 years. Lunch consisted of a banana, unspun honey, cottage cheese, and then dinner was a soup of some kind. So might be a secret to some longevity.
No moxie, though, right?
No, but lots of red wine.
I like that better.
Scotch.
Yeah, well, good for you, John.
That scotch.
Yep.
My great-grandfather lived to be 101, and he married a woman 20 years younger than him, and he was a moonshiner. And when they asked him what the secret to long life was, he said, younger women and lots of whiskey.
Well, that sounds like an old song that we might hear Alan whip out every now and again on a fun drive, get the banjo. And now we go to Vincent in Woodstock. Vincent.
Hey, I have a good way of thickening a soup to actually make it creamy. Without using cream.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're making a bisque really smooth, you cook rice into it. You cook the rice, and then you blend it all together.
Yeah, the starch from the rice, for sure. That's a good tip.
Yeah, exactly. Just like if you're – it's a good way to thicken a lobster bisque.
I like it.
Really good. Well, thank you, Vincent. We appreciate the call. The number here, 800-348-2551. Carmella. Don't know where Carmella wrote from, but I once had a delicious, smooth, creamy garlic soup in an Italian restaurant. I've tried to reinvent it, but always come up wanting. Any ideas for making it deliciouser?
Deliciouser.
That's what she wrote.
Mm. A garlic soup? I've never made garlic soup.
What a great idea.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Keep the vampires away for Halloween.
Right? Okay, so that'll be your homework for the next show. Regardless of topic. Okay. Tell us about the garlic soup.
Okay.
You'll be on again, whatever, month or something.
I'm just going to throw it out there. I think the secret to any soup and also the secret to any really good gravy, I've already said it a bunch of times, but it's sherry. It's a little bit of sherry.
And it could be the cheap stuff, right?
Yeah. It can be like the stuff you get at the grocery store.
All right. Andrew writes in, wild giant white puffballs are a great mushroom for cream of mushroom soup.
Agreed. I have those at my house right now. I should do that.
It's so funny. I was telling Fred Breglia from the Landis Arboretum about this, that we're out in the back, and we see what we think is a soccer ball out there. And we're like, okay, somebody's soccer ball went over the fence. They'll get it. A few days later, it's yellow.
Mm-hmm.
It was a giant puff. I've never seen one before.
Did your kids go and stomp on it?
No, but, you know, it's funny. The squirrels didn't even go for it.
You know, I get them in my cow pasture, the cows that I have at my house, and... Yeah.
Do the cows eat it?
They'll like push it around. They'll like nose it.
So it's cow soccer.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Let's go to Lonnie in Shelburne, Massachusetts. Lonnie.
Hey, we grow pretty much all of our own food here. And I'm lacking in spices for the lamb and pork. And, I mean, the beef shank and the chicken is fine. I think I got those pretty well mastered. But I'm lacking lamb spices or creativity.
Well, you're growing mint?
No, I haven't tried that.
Okay,
I'm trying to make soup. We do it two times a week, soup or stew on the wood stove.
Oh, nice.
So,
so mint goes really well with lamb, even in a soup. So you could throw a couple of sprigs of mint in there. But you're growing cilantro?
No, I don't do that one yet.
So
You grow?
Next year, grow cilantro.
Well, the carrots, the onions.
Right, right.
The beets and the lamb and the pork and the beef and the chicken.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Right, so you just need to add in, make some space in your garden plot next year. Add some rosemary, some thyme, parsley. Are you growing celery?
I have those on the shelf. They're just not fresh.
Okay.
Right. Are you growing celery?
No, that one I have to buy in the valley, our lovely Pioneer Valley.
Right. So make sure people always buy the celery hearts, and they forget the leaves. But the celery leaves are amazing, and I put them in like every soup I can. I put them in anything I can because they're so good. They have so much flavor. So celery.
I contribute those to it.
Yeah, good, good, good. But yeah, just having basic like parsley, sage, rosemary, thyme, like the song.
Right.
Some cilantro and some mint will get you really far.
Thank you for not singing the song. Lonnie, thanks for the call. This email from Christina, non-dairy soup thickeners. Another way that was not mentioned is to use a small amount of cooked beans with a not too beany flavor. Small white beans tend to do very well here. Blend some with water or stock and add to soup for creaminess.
Yes, and also the liquid, especially for like chickpeas. It's called aquafaba. That's the fancy term for it. But saving that liquid and adding it into soup actually does thicken and make it creamy.
And Bess wrote the same thing, basically blend white beans into the soup. So therefore, it's a good idea. A lot of people are thinking about it. 800-348-2551. Let's go to Keith in beautiful Milford, Pennsylvania. Keith, you're up.
Yes, hi, Ray.
Hi.
I've been trying, and I found a few recipes, but it seems to me oatmeal, because I used to be gigged for it when I was a kid, I drank it almost like soup. But that would be good for thickening, and you can make soup out of it.
Sure.
Oatmeal soup?
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you could throw in a little bit of oatmeal, especially like rolled oats or quick cooking oats.
Really?
Yes, steel cut.
Exactly.
Oats probably wouldn't do so well. But they are like any other grain. Like you could throw farro, rice, barley.
So, Keith, oats. Have you done the oatmeal soup thing?
I have. I found a few recipes, and I think it's good. It's simple. It's easy. It's quick. But for thickening soups, I think it would work for almost anything.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the call. We appreciate it very much. This email from True D in Great B. More and more of my pals are vegan and primarily plant eaters. What are your go-to recipes for soups and stews that fit the vegan palate? Well, we tried one here. Hungry for suggestions. That's from True D in Great B.
I mean, you can do like minestrone and like a white bean. You do beans and greens, things like that. But you have to be really careful because if they're true vegans, they'll tell you that a lot of ingredients that people use that they think has no animal byproduct usually does. So like anything that has white wine in it. So wine is usually filtered through crushed oyster shell.
You're kidding me.
No. So just check the ingredients. Any kind of alcohol, really.
So white wine would technically not be a vegan thing.
Unless it says it's vegan wine. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Blows your mind, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't drink white wine, so I ultimately don't care. But still, I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
This email from Sue. There are people who go to the beach on rainy days. Wait a minute. That's a strange
segue. Intro. I want to hear the rest.
I think this is her signature. It's very long. Oh, the subject heading is the whole message from Sue. Sue, you're confusing me. Zucchini cooked makes a creamy texture.
Yeah, squash.
Yeah.
Yeah, squash.
All right, Deanna Fox, we have about 90 seconds here. What do you have coming up? What do you want to promote? What's going on?
I have a lot of really fun stories coming up for my newsletter. I'm working on the story right now about a farmer down south who has brought this breed of turkey that's only been available in Great Britain. And he's making Thanksgiving turkeys with a really unique process.
And so what's different about this turkey, beside the accent?
Oh, yes, it gobbles with,
when it gobbles. No, really, what's the difference?
It's the breed of turkey. It's got the muscle structure of the turkey is a little bit different.
Better?
I don't know about better. That's a qualitative thing.
I've driven a couple Jaguars in my time, and they're better.
That's
but
right.
A
few Morgans, Aston Martins.
Yeah.
But what he's doing that's really unique on a big level is that they're hand-plucked. So most of the turkeys kind of get, once they're processed, they get put in like this water bath, almost like a washing machine that spins them and spins all of the feathers off them. And this guy's hand plucking all the turkeys.
How did you find this guy?
Right. It is my job. It is my journalistic duty and endeavor to toil to find the story.
Deanna Fox, you have a website, and the website is
foxonfood.com.
And you're on the social media too, right?
Yeah. Deanna Fox or Fox on Food.
All right. Well, listen, great job. And we will talk to you soon. I'm sure the way I'm booking the show, it'll be about 3 or 4 days and you'll be on again. So, Deanna Fox, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Support comes from Troy Waterfront Farmers Market outside on Saturdays in October from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Riverfront Park. Moving indoors in November for the winter market at the atrium, troymarket.org. And Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine and spirits retailer for over 40 years, providing products from traditional to new labels. SpiritHAUS.com. Once again, thanks to Deanna Fox for being with us today. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the great calls and emails. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Good week, sir. Barb King screened the calls today. I'm Ray Graff. I forgot what we're... Oh, no, I didn't forget. On Monday, we got a great ophthalmologist on. You will love him. He has been on before. Dr. Tannenbaum, I presume. He'll be here at 2 p.m. on Monday. Meantime, have a splendid weekend. And for Pete's sake, have some soup already. Stand by now for something wonderful.